J&M, how may I help?
Polly, you're not going to believe what we just got in the office.
Betty Sue, you tell me and you tell me right now.
An IP-hosted PBX that is customizable to our needs.
What will they think of next? That's so swell.
And it's affordable.
That's so neat. You sure are lucky, Betty Sue. We're still stuck in the past.
Times have changed. So should your PBX. Get Virto from Voxer Iron, a hosted IP PBX solution for your business that offers fantastic savings. Available from 65 Rand per user per month. For more info, SMS your name to 45678.
And we'll call you.
Welcome to Talk Central, the business technology podcast brought to you by South Africa's technology news leader at techcentral.co.za. My name is Duncan McLeod. I'm here with Craig Wilson. Hi, Craig.
Hi, Duncan.
So I'm recording on a Monday for a change.
Just to shake things up a little.
Indeed. You're off to Dubai tomorrow.
That's right, for the Tata Communications, what they call the Global Media and Analyst Summit, which I'm hoping should shed some light for me on a company I don't know that much about going in.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure there'll be some interesting snippets and tidbits there about their South African subsidiary, Neotel.
There will, and I see Neotel's Sunil Joshi is chairing some of the conversations that are scheduled to take place, and he's involved in various of the panel discussions, and I think it's going to be an interesting visit.
Have you been to Dubai before?
I haven't, not even just to sit in the airport on a layover, so I'm rather looking forward to it.
Okay. I think March is a good time to go. You'll be glad you're not going there in June or July.
Yes, I believe so. I should melt at least to a lesser extent.
Yeah. I'm quite interested to hear your feedback on the place after the 2008 market crash and how it's doing.
And for a place that's a bit like the mid-rand of Africa, one feels, in that it's just been built. These people have just decided to build there, and it's gone up in 20 years from being just a desert to a very, very deliberate and ostentatious city. Not that Midrand's that ostentatious, so perhaps it falls apart a bit there in terms of the analogy. But I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be a great experience. At the moment, I just like going anywhere I haven't been. So
good.
These are always exciting.
Good. Well, let's get on to this week's news, or last week's news rather, since it's Monday. the big news out of last week, I think, was the news about John Holdsworth and his new company, AppChat. We broke the news, I think it was on Friday, that AppChat is going to be launching a mobile virtual network operator, be the second company in South Africa to do this after Virgin Mobile. They're talking about doing it quite differently. They're partnering with one of the network operators. They're not saying which one yet, although I think by a process of deduction, it's fairly easy to work out
which one
it's likely to be. But they're talking about building more than just a plain virtual operator where they resell another operator services, but actually building a lot of their own infrastructure as well. So they're building a core IP network in Durban, Johannesburg, and Cape Town. And they're also going to be developing, and this is where the model gets really interesting, is they're going to be developing an application that sits on top of smartphones. I think if I remember correctly, they're talking about Windows Phone, Google, Android, Apple iOS and Blackberry OS.
Indeed.
Interestingly, no plans to develop for Symbian, which I thought was rather interesting.
That is interesting.
So what they're doing is they're building this application, which is basically a voice over IP application, a super duper voice over IP application, and that allows high definition quality voice services using a particular codec. And now what they're going to do is the plan is to route calls over AppChat's VoIP network, IP network,
wherever possible,
where there's a strong 3G connection, a strong HSPA connection, and then fall back on the 2G/GSM network in areas where there isn't coverage.
Right.
So it's quite an interesting model, and John is promising to slash the cost of calls. Some of the figures he's talking about are around half of the price of current average mobile call rates.
And I saw talk of them being a little bit more fixed as well. They want to make it as simple as possible. No complicated, on-peak, off-peak, on-network, off-network. As fewer sort of price differentiations as possible.
And same
handful of packages as
well. Same tariff all day, whether using the VoIP network or the 2G GSM failover network.
Indeed, no need to get data for your sort of calls that are routed over VoIP.
Yeah, and it all sounds very promising. John, of course, is the guy who really punted or pushed for termination rates to come down, mobile termination rates, the fees the operators charge each other to carry calls on their networks.
Right.
And he lobbied hard in Parliament with various politicians, etc., and the net result of that, he wasn't the only one lobbying for it, but he was certainly the most vocal and at the forefront of that lobbying process. The termination rates have fallen dramatically and will fall to 40 cents per minute from March 2013, March next year, so a year from now. And that rate has fallen from 125 per minute during peak times just a couple of years ago. And that makes it obviously easier for newcomers like AppChat to come into the market because they can offer cheaper off-net phone calls.
It seems so fitting that of all the people to sort of capitalize on these falling rates to launch something like this, it would be Holdsworth who worked so hard for them.
Yes. I wonder how long he's had this this plan in the works.
Indeed.
But it's an interesting venture, and I mean, there's some obvious technical issues that he's going to have to overcome, such as ensuring that the quality of the voice over the 3G network is good enough. What happens to someone who, for example, is driving down the highway and the 3G connection drops and it has to switch across to 2G? Is there going to be a seamless switch over to the, or will the call drop? There are a lot of issues, technical challenges here. Also developing applications. Fairly complex application across multiple smartphone operating systems. He's talking quite aggressively in terms of launching. I asked him on the phone this week what when he's planning to launch. I was hoping for later this year or
a
early
sort of
next
ballpark
year.
Ballpark figure, yes.
And he said October the 17th. So that's rather specific.
It is, yeah.
He's pushing for October this year, and I think good luck to him. It'll certainly increase competition in the mobile voice market.
Indeed, which, as we know, is always a good thing. And it also drives innovation, because if they're looking at these models, it forces the incumbents to do likewise, if nothing else, just to stay abreast.
Yes.
So I think it's, even if it doesn't provide the sort of quality of service we'd like to see at the outset, it's still good in terms of the competition and innovation it encourages.
Mm.
It's just a good. It's just good regardless.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, John's promised that we're going to get a chance to test it before launch. So I'm looking forward to trying out the service. They're going to issue some AppChat branded SIM cards as well. So this is not just a voice over IP app that you're going to download and install on your phone. This is actually quite a serious telco opportunity that John Holdsworth is trying to launch here. They're going to go mainly for electronic and direct channels. So if you want a SIM card, you'll simply go onto the AppChat website, sign up for the service, and a courier will deliver it to you.
Right.
Although they also say they're going to work through some traditional retail channels to get SIM cards out into the marketplace,
particularly for the sort of middle and lower end of the market. Where
yeah.
They'd be less inclined to the sort of courier model. Yeah.
He's aiming at LSM 6 and up. Obviously, the application is only going to work on smartphones,
sure.
So that does exclude the mass market for now, although that may change down the line as these devices get cheaper and cheaper.
And may change if the pricing is right. If the proposition is compelling enough, it may be worth some people's while to consider a more expensive handset in exchange for lower monthly fees.
Yeah, I must say I make most of my phone calls from the office here, and it would make sense for me simply to route my calls over DSL.
Absolutely.
And if the value proposition is very good and the quality of the calls is superior to what you get over GSM, then hey, I might switch.
Well, I'm interested to see how well it takes off. You know, the one thing we haven't seen is that much of this sort of voice over IP offerings for phones. You know, even this application Viber that a lot of us have downloaded it, because of the worries of the quality of service and the worries about the network being able to support it. I know very few people who are actually using it often.
Mm.
I seem to have rather a lot of friends on it. But I know you've used it a bit in the States.
I used it in the States.
But you haven't used it here much.
No, I don't use it much here at all. I think where AppChat is getting this right is that they realize that you can't have this as exclusively as a VoIP over 3G or a VoIP over Wi-Fi type service.
And it needs to have some sort of fallback.
It needs to have fallback to the GSM network, and I think that's where he's getting this right.
Yes.
You need to consumers need a guarantee that they'll be able to make a call wherever they are, whether that's on top of the Drakensberg.
Indeed.
Or sitting in their office next to their Wi-Fi router.
But it's sensible. If you can route enough, you can save enough costs by routing enough of it over 3G when that's possible.
Yes.
It could prove to be a compelling model.
Yes.
Here's hoping.
Yeah. So other things he's promising is they're not going to lock people into long-term contracts, although he's going to be offering subsidized phones through AppChat, so you'll be able to get a free or a seriously discounted smartphone.
Right.
If you sign up for a contract, you are able to cancel the airtime part of that contract at any time you want. You'll only then be liable to pay off what's owing
on the
phone itself.
Which, in fairness, is reasonable, and this is the way it
should
be.
Yeah, exactly.
And I suppose one has to operate like that in sort of preempting the Consumer Protection Act's requirements. That we're still going to see more news on this from the other networks as the contracts, the way contracts have to be laid out, becomes more clearly defined. It's probably sensible to just hit the ground running. What attracts me most about this offering is the suggestion of the simplicity. You know, one of the things that annoys me more than anything else from the networks is when they make the various sort of contracts unnecessarily complicated.
Yes.
And you have to sit there with a calculator and a spreadsheet and try and work out what things are actually costing you. I think if even just a network that offers really transparent rates, that's a very, very appealing
Absolutely.
Proposition for consumers.
Absolutely. I mean, I just buy bundles of data and bundles of minutes. I never know what I'm using and what I've
sure.
got left and all the rest of it. So it, having a simple offering like that with cheap call rates, that works.
No, it even comes down to little things.
Could
I,
be really
my,
successful.
I buy data bundles, and as far as I know, they're valid for until the end of the month after which I load them. But
yes.
unless I make a note on my calendar, nowhere on my airtime balance does it tell me your data will expire on this date.
Mm.
And it just feels like it's designed to trip you up.
Yes.
And,
yeah.
if we can just lay things out as clearly as possible, I think there'll be a lot of motivation to take up the offering. I certainly would.
Great. Well, staying with local cell phone issues, Craig, you had a look at some of the latest developments around Vodacom and their BlackBerry, I put in inverted commas, abuse problem,
yes.
Where some users, a small percentage of users, have been downloading massive amounts of data, tethering their devices and finding ways of getting downloaded movies and other content off their devices, which has proved quite a challenge for Vodacom. You'll remember late last year they said they were going to throttle BlackBerry users who used more than a certain or a fair share of data on the network, and that prompted a serious outcry from consumers,
yes.
which resulted in Vodacom effectively backtracking on that. But Peter Ace last year said that they were hoping to have a solution in place, and the research in motion, the BlackBerry maker, was working on a solution that they had promised would be ready by the end of last year. In fact, I think Peter said Christmas last year. That didn't happen, but Craig, you've got some updates this week on how that is progressing.
Well,
things
yes
actually
and no.
do seem to be happening.
The problem is I've been told that they now have a solution.
Yes.
What no one will tell us is what that solution is.
Mm.
Unfortunately, they've said that
they're hinting at it. I mean, in your conversation with them, they said that they hinted that it's got to do with the same sort of shaping that you see on regular connections. So that presumably they're going to be throttling down peer-to-peer traffic and that sort of thing.
Indeed, I look forward to getting a slightly more sort of technical explanation out of them. It's also curious to see how they're going to, they have to identify it through a conjunction of Vodacom's network and RIM's own network.
I think
that was where a large part of the problem lay.
Yes,
is that only so much of the sort of what's actually going on the device is visible to each party.
Mm.
And so it's how do they work together without compromising security to actually monitor users and then throttle or keep those in check who are being clever enough to sidestep the measures. I mean, I also find it quite a little bit amusing that someone's managed to tether a BlackBerry and then download 100 gigs in a month. You sort of have to admire their innovation. But, certainly bad for the network and unsustainable. It's nice that they have worked towards a solution. It's interesting, I suppose, that they're clearly working out the last of the kinks because we hadn't actually heard anything specific until we went looking for the info. So hopefully we'll see this actually announced in a little bit more detail in either this week or early next. The impression I got was that it's pretty much ready to go. They're just doing some sort of final testing.
Okay, good. Well, we'll keep an eye out for that later this week. Craig, MTN, staying on telecoms, MTN put out its results, when was it, last week, before last already now. We haven't recorded a podcast in the last 2 weeks, but some interesting stuff coming out of that. Some of the more notable stuff was the challenges that MTN is facing in Iran, which is under increasing international pressure over its nuclear program. Obviously, there's been some development around Turkcell. We saw a very strongly worded statement coming out of MTN about the lawsuits that Turkcell is threatening to file in the US, alleging corruption in MTN's being awarded the license in Iran.
And MTN suggesting that Turkcell's just manipulating it and trying to sort of pressure it into, I don't know whether it's on some sort of offer or settlement.
Well, clearly Turkcell is looking for some sort of settlement from MTN. MTN is coming out guns blazing. They've appointed this commission or committee headed by a respected jurist from the UK, Lord Leonard Hoffman, to look into the issue. MTN is complaining that Turkcell is refusing to take part in this commission headed by Lord Hoffman, which doesn't really surprise me, because why would Turkcell want to participate in an MTN
investigation
of the issues. But Turkcell seems to be lobbying hard in the US, where there's obviously a lot of pressure, particularly from right-wing politicians at the moment, to isolate Iran and possibly to even launch military action against Iran, which we may see later this year if the Democrats lose the election and the Republicans come into power.
Indeed.
So lots of challenges for MTN potentially down the line.
Yes.
I think Sifiso Dabengwe, the group CEO, is going to be watching the US elections with a great deal of interest this year. certainly MTN operates in a number of highly risky markets. You recall it's not just Iran, they operate in Afghanistan, Syria, Yemen, Sudan. You know, there are a lot of dodgy markets that the company plays in. And they've done very well out of it. I mean, Nigeria is now their biggest market. When they first went into Nigeria, all the analysts were saying, are you insane?
Yes.
This is a crazy place to go into, a really tough, dangerous place to do business.
And it's not proved incredibly lucrative.
It's their biggest subsidiary.
Yeah.
And Iran has grown at an incredible rate. They've got something like 35 million customers in Iran. So making it easily their third biggest market. So
indeed, and we forget that for all the scale of sort of Vodacom at home, and Vodacom being the largest here, in terms of international reach, MTN makes Vodacom look comparatively tiny.
Yeah, MTN of course operates in 21 markets right across the Africa and the Middle East, whereas Vodacom operates in only half a dozen countries in the Southern African region.
Mm, indeed.
Good, but the one more interesting, I guess, positive thing that I thought came out of the MTN results was an update from Coral Pinar, the local MD, on how the LTE network rollout is going. There are now up to 103 LTE base stations, and I see the tower across here from our office seems to have got some new radio communications equipment attached to it, which looks suspiciously to me like LTE equipment.
We'll have to get the Binox out and check. Yeah?
So I'm hoping the fiber guys are going to be going in there next, and that it's going to be hooked up soon.
Yeah, this is obviously something we're watching closely. I mean, it's nice to see MTN being so aggressive about it. It does make me wonder what the likes of Vodacom are up to behind the scenes, because we can be sure that they're not sleeping through this. They're certainly aware of the need to hit the market quickly
as soon as they can.
There's the option to provide LTE. It's just that MTN has been the most sort of vocal.
Mm. I think MTN has more, because MTN doesn't have as many customers in South Africa. I think they can refarm some of their spectrum more easily than Vodacom can refarm spectrum for LTE.
Sure, that's a little closer to sort of network capacity.
Yeah. But again, Carl Pino was talking very strongly about the need for spectrum. He wants it right now. He's saying ICASA must give MTN and other operators that want to deploy LTE interim relief,
indeed,
is his words, to get access to LTE spectrum on a temporary basis so they can begin building these networks. He says he wants to switch on a nationwide LTE network now. Some of it, of course, may be a bit of grandstanding to try and ensure that MTN actually gets access to the spectrum, because ICASA has been making noises about giving it to new entrants rather than to the incumbent players.
Sure.
So he's got quite a lobbying and political game to play to ensure MTN does actually get access to the spectrum that it needs, particularly in the 2.6 and 800 megahertz bands, to build LTE networks.
Absolutely. And there are these arguments too that, you know, on the one hand, you can understand the appeal of getting new entrants into the market, but there is also the very valid argument that the incumbents like MTN MTN's really aggressively displaying its LTE readiness and just saying, you know, a newcomer is going to take a few years and many billion rand of investment before it'll actually be able to have an operational network.
Yes.
As MTN's demonstrating, it could very conceivably have something up and running before the end of the year if it had the spectrum to do it.
Yes.
So there is there are compelling arguments on both sides. Certainly, more new entrants means competition, but at what sort of cost? And if it means waiting 2 years or 3 years for an actually properly operational national network, then perhaps we are better off giving it to the incumbents.
Mm. It's a really delicate balancing act for ICASA. The spectrum is very limited.
And this is the problem, right? But because it's so limited and so finite, there aren't degrees of finiteness, but it's a real problem. It's nice to see them talking so aggressively. As you said, I suspect some of it is grandstanding, but they're all promising sounds. And we'd like to see it. The little tests we've been able to do with LTE have been extremely promising.
Moving right along, Craig, of course, Friday was the big launch of the iPad 3 in selected markets around the world, not ours, unfortunately.
No, I'm sure I'll be seeing a couple this week in Dubai. I'm sure the American tech journals will be wanting to show them off to the rest of us.
I'm sure. So are you going to get one when they get here?
No, I don't think so. You know, the problem is we say this. I know when I see it and when I see that screen, it's going to seem incredible, and immediately the iPad 2 is going to seem dated.
Mm.
You know, and the screen really is the big selling point, and it is so literally so visual. I'm sure we are going to have a hard time not falling in love with it. But aside from that,
the screen is the only real advantage.
I just don't really see any reason to. We don't have the LTE or 4G support. We're not going to get those network advantages. I don't need a better camera in my iPad. I've been mocked by some of our peers often enough for taking any images with an iPad. And we don't really need more people holding up iPads at concerts. But there's nothing really compelling on it that I need. The iPad 2 is still an exceptional device.
It's thinner and lighter.
And it is still thinner and lighter. I think it's going to be... I certainly look forward to seeing it, but that's also just the geek in me that wants to play with the newest toy. But I'm certainly not going to be getting one, and I don't think you are, because if I'm not mistaken, you're going to hold out for a Windows 8 tablet.
I am indeed. Windows 8 should be here by mid-year, I'm hoping, third quarter at the latest. And I'm looking for both for a new Ultrabook and for possibly a Windows 8 tablet, or possibly one that's a combination of both, such as the new Lenovo IdeaPad Yoga.
Which is the sort of screen that can pivot around.
Becomes a tablet when it's folded one way and a laptop when it's folded the other.
I think that's definitely these sort of hybrid devices are where it's going. And it's also probably good that you want a Windows 8 tablet and an Ultrabook. It keeps us balanced. I'll keep an eye on the Mac side of things, and you can keep an eye on Microsoft.
Right. Done deal. Good. Well, we're going to introduce a new feature in the show this week, Craig. We're going to try this out for a few weeks. I think it's please give us your feedback and what you think of it at info@techcentral.co.za. But we're launching a new feature this week called Apps of the Week. Craig and I are going to pick one of our favorite apps that we've been playing with in the recent past. Craig, do you want to kick it off this week? What have you discovered?
This is another good reason that you're a diehard Android user and that at the moment I'm an iOS user, because I get a little bit more diversity on this front. My app of the week is definitely Airfoil. Airfoil, if you want to look it up, we'll obviously post a link after this the podcast in the text so that you can click straight through. But it's made by a company called Rogue Amoeba. And the app in question is called Airfoil. I actually came across Rogue Amoeba software a while ago. They make a number of audio-related apps, one of which is called Audio Hijack, which allows record any audio that's coming through your system. So whether it's streaming radio or embedded audio on a website or anything like that, where you want to pluck the audio out of it, Audio Hijack does that. So I knew the company already, and a friend put me onto this app called Airfoil. And Airfoil just literally lets you play the same music simultaneously on multiple devices. And I used it recently. It's handy for things like a party where you want to have music in multiple rooms, but you don't want to have it blasting in either, if you wanted a sort of background. So you can put your iTunes on your MacBook or your Mac desktop, and then stream exactly the same music in sync to any other iDevice, so an iPod Touch or an iPhone or an iPad, and just plug that into another set of speakers. And you can also use it as a remote control from either end. It's really, really easy. You just sort of tap a button to turn on a sound source, tap another button to turn it off, and it just does what it says in the box. It's a great little app, really tidy. The versions for iOS devices are free, but the actual app itself is $20. But if it's the kind of thing that you use a lot, the sort of desktop version, it's also Windows friendly, so you don't have to have a MacBook or Mac laptop to use it. But you will need an iPod or an iPhone. But there are obviously a lot of Windows users who have at least one iDevice.
Does it not work on Android and other platforms?
At the moment, it doesn't, no.
Oh, so it's a bit like Instagram.
Well, it literally, except that you can use it on a Windows desktop. Okay. And it's $20 whether it's Windows desktop or Mac desktop. And I think with the number of people who still do have an iPod or an iPod Touch or... an iPod Touch or an iPhone. There's still a lot of use to be had, even if you're not a diehard Mac fan.
It's quite amazing, by the way, how the iPod sales for Apple are falling and becoming a much smaller component of its overall sales mix. Consider that the iPod is the only audio player that's really worth considering.
Absolutely.
Is quite extraordinary.
And you wonder if eventually it'll disappear entirely as the storage in iPhones gets better.
Mobile devices,
I remember for a long time the iPod Touch was popular pre-iPad as a traveler's laptop alternate. You know, if all you needed to do was check email and you'd have Wi-Fi access, in the hotels or whatever. I know some very, very lightweight travelers who used to just take an iPod Touch in lieu of a laptop.
Interesting. Anyway, Craig, my pick of the week is a very interesting app which was being demoed at South by Southwest in Texas last week, which is called Glancy. I've signed up for it. Unfortunately, not too many users in Johannesburg seem to be using it at the moment. The only person nearby to me in my glancy list is you, only because I introduced you to the software about half an hour ago. But it's really cool. It's what did you call it? Social discovery app. It's really cool. The idea is that if you're sitting in a pub or in a restaurant and you want to meet people around you, you fire up Glancy and you take a look at who around you is using the software, and it'll tell you what their likes are and you know what their interests are, and you can then strike up a direct conversation with them, or you could ask one of your mates who happens to share or know the person who's near to you to set up the conversation for you, to make the introductions. So it's really quite an interesting way of meeting people.
And I see it ties into your Facebook as well and tells you where you have where you have existing overlapping links. I'm just looking at some of its other suggestions, and it's telling me, oh, you know, here's a designer. We've got these three people in common, and this person is 4 miles away. As you said, it's curious that it's miles. We don't seem to have found a way to change it to kilometers, but that's fairly minor. But I will certainly be trying this out in some more crowded places where it's not just our office. It also tells me that you are mere steps away, so
steps away.
Certainly quite accurate on that front.
Yeah, indeed. The nearest person to me other than you, Craig, is a guy called Carlo Baptista, 4.4 miles away. He's IT service manager at Barclays. Judging by his picture, he's about 3 years old. then after that, 5.2 miles, a guy called Sean Sunny, who works at business at MTN Group. And after that, 5.2 miles. Now, if I scroll down about 10 or 12 on the list, suddenly it jumps to 311 miles. Wesley van Billion, Hillcrest, KwaZulu-Natal. And 313 miles, an engineer called Bruce Attridge, who works at Toyota. So not a lot of people in South Africa on this right now. But yeah, check it out. It's quite interesting. It's got potential. And I think as more and more people get onto it, not just us early adopters here at Tech Central, it's got really interesting potential as a social, as you described, a social discovery service.
And in the interim, you and I now have a seventh or eighth way to communicate.
Indeed, like we don't have enough already. Yeah. Awesome, Craig, I think we're going to call it there. As always, if you've got any feedback on the show, you can email us at info@techcentral.co.za, or you can leave a comment on the podcast entry on the website. Until next time, have a great week. From myself and Craig, cheers.